Good morning. I'm back. Thanks. And for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Reverend Carol Ann Strawbridge. I was associate pastor at this church for 100 years. And now I am pastor emeritus, of which I'm very grateful for, and delighted to be here today. It's so good to see all of you. So I know of one announcement. There might be others. Bridget?
Good morning. Sunday school kickoff is September 16th, and as you may recall, in the spring we gave a little preview of our format, which we're upgrading this year. So our hope is that this new format will promote intergenerational learning and provide some creative opportunities for our kids. What this means for the congregation is a chance to teach without a semester or a year-long commitment. So as a teacher this year, what we're asking for is a two-week block of time. That's it, two Sundays. You'll have a partner, and you'll have youth help. And the job of the teacher is really going to be to sort of facilitate as opposed to doing anything, any specific instruction and things. And I can give you more information about that. We're going to provide the lesson, the materials, all of the talking points. And our goal is to have the entire plan online to make it even more user-friendly for folks that want to look at their materials and get those things ahead of time. So think about signing up for a two-week block maybe with your spouse, or your church bestie, or anybody else that you think might want to do this with you, or sign up just by yourself and make new friends. So see me after church with your calendars and your questions. Thanks.
And honestly, my love for church school just insists that I tell Bridget and all of you what a great program this is. It's been used throughout the presbytery. Try it. It's fun. It's good education. I think you'll be pleased. Are there other announcements? Let us prepare ourselves for worship.
Of the Lord is in this place.
please stand for the call to worship printed in the bulletin. Let us rejoice, for morning has dawned. A new day has been born, and we are newly alive to enjoy it. Gather to worship God, to share prayers and gifts, to pledge ourselves to God's work in the world. God assures us that when we come to God confessing our sins, God forgives us over and over again. Please join me in the prayer of confession in the bulletin. We thank you, O God, for the day you have given us and for all of the possibilities within it. We praise you for your gifts of life and love, of labor and rest. We confess, however, that sometimes we are unappreciative, even though your goodness surrounds us, that we are despairing, even though your strength encircles us, that we are dissatisfied, even though your love embraces us. Help us to release our want for more, so that we might walk together as thankful people, working together in joy. Oh God, hear our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Those who are in Christ are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Everything has become new. All of this is from God, with whom we have been reconciled through Christ. We are forgiven people. Let our hallelujahs fill the air. My favorite, oh, some more. My favorite children. Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. I brought a story. Called If You Plant a Seed. If you plant a tomato seed, a carrot seed, and a cabbage seed, in time, with love and care, tomatoes, carrots, and cabbage plants will grow. Any of you plant any vegetables this year? Not you? I love these illustrations. I should take a minute to look at them. Aren't they beautiful? They're enjoying the carrots and the tomatoes. Folks are pretty happy. Well, fed the rabbits. If you plant a seed of selfishness, very short time, it will grow and grow and grow. Look, the animals aren't so happy anymore. They're kind of talking at each other. It will grow into a heap of rubble. It reminds me to be kind. God is so good to us. We can say thank you for God's goodness in two ways. One is we can thank God for all the good things in our life. Another way is we can be kind to God's children, God's world. That's also a way to say thank you. So, you two know this. I have two grandchildren. One is two. Her name is Olivia. She lives in Hong Kong, a little far. Second one is named Austin, and he lives here. He's three. And together, I like to pray with them.
special prayer. So I thought I would teach it to you. It's a Thanksgiving prayer. So what you have to do is you have to use your hands and your voices. I want to be sure you have voices. So can you yell out thank you as loud as you can? Thank you! All right, I think we have some voices. Now if I can get up, I'll show you how to do this. Okay, you ready? Thank you, God, for you and you and you and you. Thank you, God, for me. What a great shot. Thank you, God, for everything. Good job. Amen. Thanks for sharing that prayer with me. I will think of each one of you the next time I pray it with my grandchildren. So you may go back to your seats.
Somebody's down to their last dime. Somebody's running out of time. Not too far from here. Somebody's got nowhere else to go. Somebody needs a little hope. Not too far from here. And I may not know their name, but I'm praying just the same, that you'll use me, Lord, to wipe away a tear. 'Cause somebody's crying not too far from here. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. And somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. It may be a stranger's face, but I'm praying for your grace to move in me and take away the fear. 'Cause somebody's hurting not too far from here. Help me, Lord, not to turn away from pain. Help me not to rest while those around me weep. Give me your strength and compassion when somebody finds the road of life too steep. Somebody's troubled and confused. Somebody's got nothing left to lose. Not too far from here. Somebody's forgotten how to trust. And somebody's dying for love. Not too far from here. Now I'm letting down my guard. And I'm opening my heart. Help speak your love to every needful ear. Someone is waiting not too far from here. Someone is waiting.
First reading this morning is from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
The second reading this morning is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Be careful, then, how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand that what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord with your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let us pray. Living God, through your Holy Spirit, open our minds and hearts to your words. Fill us with the spirit of wisdom and understanding so that we may live with the message of gratitude and be inspired to share your love with all of God's children. Amen. Are we almost there? I'm bored. How much longer? These are universal questions asked by children everywhere from the back seat of the family car. Well, at least they were standard questions of my children on the long trips from Rochester to North Carolina to see their grandparents. Questions that inevitably triggered car games. And I had many. The license plate game. 20 questions. I'm going on a picnic. The opposite game. Well, the opposite game was an original. I created it on a particularly long leg of a particularly long trip. The leader says a word, and the player says the opposite. Light, dark, outside, inside, up, down, backwards, forwards, Carolina, Duke. Okay, maybe this game wasn't so creative, but it did mildly distract my children from their misery. Well, I was reminded of the opposite game when I read this morning's lectionary epistle reading. Paul's letter reads like the opposite game. Don't live unwisely, live wisely. Don't be foolish, make smart choices. Don't waste time, use time efficiently. Don't get drunk, stay sober. I confess, as I read these do's and don'ts, I squirmed a bit. Recalling lazy summer evenings buried in a junk novel, enjoying, yes, a glass of wine. I felt a little blanketed by that interesting word that Paul uses, debauchery. But not to worry. I continued to read. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to myself, yeah, I'm a thankful person. It's all good. I have no trouble. No trouble at all being thankful for my junk book or my glass of wine. But of course, that's just plain silly. And I was forced to ask myself a more serious question. What does it look like to give thanks to God at all times and for everything? What was Paul's point? Scholars disagree about who actually wrote the book of Ephesians. Some think it was, in fact, Paul. Others believe it was written by a student of Paul. But all agree that it was written sometime around 62 AD, when Paul was in prison in Rome. So whether it was written by Paul from his jail cell, or by a friend whose beloved teacher was unjustly in that cell, one has to be amazed that thankfulness was even part of this band-aid. Clearly, for Paul, thankfulness wasn't about a comfortable life. For not only were these instructions written in the shadow of a Roman prison cell, they were also written to the people of Ephesus who were struggling with their own shadows, an oppressive government, congregational conflict, theological confusion, to name just a few. Troubles. Yet Paul didn't issue a get out of gratitude pass just because life was tough. I don't know. It really is easier to be a thankful person when one's life is good, comfortable. But that's not the point. What is the point, then? If if it's not to acknowledge all the wonderful treasures in and around among us, what is the point? My parents' home was filled with books. They both loved to read. And as I was cleaning out their home after my mother's death, I yearned to keep every single book. Because, honestly, books are my debauchery. But I had retired only months before and was then trying to integrate the books of my office into the books of my home. And truly, the last thing in the world I needed was more books. I did, however, keep two of my mother's most favorite books. One was her Bible. She taught in an adult Sunday school class for over 40 years, and even in her dying days, she could put me to shame with her knowledge of the Bible. Her personal Bible had notes written all over the margins. And actually, the other book I kept also had notes written all over the margin. It was Amy Vanderbilt's Complete Book of Etiquette. The Bible and the Complete Book of Etiquette were my mother's guide to her very gracious life. It really intrigues me as to how she managed to hold these two incongruent books in tandem. But she did. Because unmistakably, expressing thanks for an excellent dinner party is far different than expressing thanks to God. Unlike Vanderbilt's book, the Bible speaks of profound gratitude. The kind of gratitude that is not dependent on what we have or do or are. The kind of gratitude that transforms our lives and those around us. Mary Jo Leddy, in her book Radical Gratitude, suggests that we live in a culture of perpetual dissatisfaction. She claims that such a state keeps our economy ticking and our life on a forward path. In other words, a culture that is never completely satisfied is a culture that economically thrives. I like this term. I find it helpful. It defines the perfection for which we all strive. Indeed, we want our relationships more loving, jobs more rewarding, homes more beautiful, volunteer work more meaningful, bodies more fit, and on and on and on. Perpetual dissatisfaction. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting that striving for personal change is wrong, or that settling for unhappiness is noble. I am suggesting, however, that a culture that yearns for perfection makes profound gratitude much more difficult. But what does such yearning do to our relationships? It makes it hard to accept the person standing in front of us as a child of God. Instead, we try to change the person for whatever reason, and in doing so, communicate the destructive message that he or she is just not good enough. What does it do to ourselves? It prevents us from embracing ourselves as unique, exquisite children of God. We believe that we're not beautiful enough, smart enough, do enough. And soon we internalize the self-defeating message, we are just not good enough. And what does it do to our earth? It encourages us to want more, use more, discard more. And in doing so, disrespect the creation that God has given us. It just is not good enough. I think it even affects our life together as a Christian church. For the past 2 years, I've been a member of the Presbytery Committee of Ministries. This is a committee that deals directly with individual churches within the presbytery. Through my work on this committee, I hear perpetual dissatisfaction all over the place. For a church, it sounds something like, we don't have enough members. Not enough people come to worship. Our budget is suffering. Our volunteer pool is exhausted. And all of these things might be true, but this not enough attitude completely disregards the members that are here now, the mission work that's being done now. Parking lot conversations become times for grumbling, not times for giving thanks to God for being part of God's church. I'm reminded of an experience I had years ago. As many of you know, I once worked at Cameron Community Ministry, a ministry that offers lunch, clothes, and various programs to the folks living in the Lyle Otis neighborhood. My job at Cameron was to work with the neighborhood children and youth. One day, however, the kitchen director was short on volunteers, and I was recruited. Together, the volunteers that were there and I prepared lunch. And soon, the doors opened, our noon guests arrived, and they began serving themselves from the buffet that we had just cooked. The meal progressed routinely, as it did just about every day. Well, that is until one guest came into the kitchen and loudly announced, "This is the worst meal I have ever had. Do you have anything else I can eat?" Stunned, but awkwardly made our apologies and then searched for an alternative in the refrigerator. However, when all of the guests were gone, our graciousness dissolved into grouchiness. We turned to each other, shaking our heads, and finally one brave volunteer dared to express what we were all feeling. How ungrateful. That man got a free meal. He didn't have to pay a cent or do a thing. All he had to do was sit down and eat his lunch. If he was really hungry, he would have been thankful. Not complaining about it. Upon retrospect, our own blind entitlement was embarrassing, blatant that afternoon.
process of reflecting upon this event offered me an opportunity to ask myself a disturbing question. Is that the way God feels about us? Is God saying, how ungrateful, I gave them life itself. Every day, I continue to renew that life over and over again. I even resurrect them when they die. Yet, they complain that it's just not good enough. I wonder, am I the complaining guest in God's world? And so I circle back to the question, how can I be a more grateful person in God's world? Certainly not by taking a Pollyanna approach to life where everything is wonderful and we smile and we say thank you because it's what we learn to do as small, well-behaved children raised by the likes of Amy Vanderbilt. We know better than that. We know better than that because we know that everything is not always wonderful. Sometimes it's awful. So perhaps, instead of profound gratitude, perhaps profound gratitude is truly understanding that we are alive in this world for one reason alone. God decided to create us. Perhaps profound gratitude is truly believing that God recreates our life over and over again. And perhaps it's being so thankful for life that we want to put our lives to good use, to wise use. Reaching out to the very people that Irene sung about. The people not so far from here. The people who need hope. The people who need light. A friend, a family member, a colleague, or a complete stranger. Isn't that the point of it all? We are God's creation, and as such, we are enough. We even have enough. We are enough. We have enough. Make a difference in God's world. That is truly something to be grateful for. Amen.
Thank you.
invite you now to share your joys and your concerns.
Anne-Marie Sim, I just wanted to make a correction because in the bulletin it mentioned that my co-worker passed away, but it was actually his wife, who was 48 years old. But I'd like prayers for him. His name is Frank, who was scheduled to go in for a kidney transplant, and then his wife passed away. So prayers for Frank as he goes through the grieving process and to think about the surgery, upcoming surgery. Thank you.
Andrea Hinchy-Unson, I just want to kind of update you on my mom. I went with her on Tuesday to her first radiation and chemotherapy appointment. She will do radiation every day for the next 6 weeks, and she will do chemo once a week. And September 25th will be the end of that course, and then we'll decide, you know, how that works for her. But just prayers for her and my dad and my brother. The family. Thank you.
Sue Mancini. I'd like prayers. Excuse me. I'd like prayers for my. Excuse me. I'd like prayers for my granddaughter, who is in an abusive situation. She has a son who is in her partner's care. She is trying to get the son back to her. She is living next door to me with my daughter, where my daughter lives. It's a bad, bad situation, and I'd like prayers from everybody for her to be strong and to fight. Thank you.
Good morning, Chris Ullman. I received a message from Melissa on my way to church this morning. She's asked me to share with the congregation that their daughter Lily has been hospitalized due to an eating disorder, and cards would very much be appreciated for Lily. So if you could mail cards to the house, Melissa and Matt will make sure that Lily gets them. And I would just ask that we keep Melissa, Matt, and Nora in our prayers as well. Thank you.
Sally Christensen. I'd ask for prayers for our son Matt and his wife Ortal as they travel to Boston today to get a consult and second opinion on the hand deformity that their little four-month-old Aiden was born with. It's all looking very fine, but they have a lot of decisions to make.
Prayers for Matt and
everyone to know my sister Mary died a couple weeks ago out in Arizona, and she loved it out there the same as we do, but she wants to come here with her folks and God. And the other thing is we found out a couple weeks ago that my husband, Don, has cancer, and we'd like some blessings for him. Thank you.
Let's pray. Great God, creator of all that is good and loving, we give you thanks for the beauty of the seasons, for the summer months with their warm breezes, lush greenery, and promising crops. We see beds of daisies and fields of corn, and we're reminded of your creative power. We feel the warm sun and the cool waters, and we remember your power of renewal. Great God, we give you thanks for the joy of creation, for life itself, and we come wanting to be profoundly grateful people and ask that you help us fully understand the miraculous gift of birth and rebirth, of life and resurrected life. And we pray for this congregation. Be with us in the season of renewal. Be with Melissa and Lily and their families. Bestow your peace upon them. May they know that they are well loved by each of us. Re-energize their power with your embrace. And we give you thanks for Reverend Kilgore for his compassionate leadership during these days of renewal. Keep him safe in his travels. Show us ways in which we can all be supportive of his work. We ask, too, that you fill our global leaders with wisdom. Help us all to be people of peace and justice. Unite us in ways that solve global challenges. Remind us that all of creation belongs to you, that all of us are your children. And we pray for those who are sick and those who are discouraged, those who were mentioned this morning, and those who are close to our hearts. May your Spirit fill their lives with love, a love that offers hope even in the darkest of days. And we ask that you now hear us as together we pray the prayer you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us pray. Yes. Yeah. Oh, yes. Why don't we add a prayer? Oh, God, we know you're with us at all times. And we ask that you be with Bonnie, bestow your healing powers upon her. We ask that you be with the Beckett family. They are so essential to our congregation. Indeed, they've given of themselves in so many ways. We know them courage. Thank you.
Generous and gracious God, you give and give and give to us. From our gratitude, we offer these gifts today. Help us to use them to spread your love to your children. Strengthen us so that we may boldly reflect our thankfulness to you.
Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.